Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. I just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, let me just step into that anointing that you placed on my life to ignite and to awaken the faith that's on the inside of you. Because I want that to happen in me, but I pray that'll happen in you individually and as a church body, that God would use me, and it's his anointing, his touch on your life that will awaken and that will ignite what is already placed inside of you. The word of God that's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God is life and healing to all of our flesh. The word of God that has put us up and over, amen, from taking us from glory to glory. Praise the Lord. So I just believe that the word of God that is already anointed, because the word, Jesus and the word are one, right? So I just trust and believe, God, today that you will be awakened to some things that's already been deposited on the inside of you, or it may be deposited today on the inside of you. Because I do believe it is a word from heaven, and I'll tell you what stirred this in me. When I listened to Brother Reggie Travis's message that he preached here a couple weeks ago, and I keep up with y'all. I keep up with what's coming from the platform here, and I probably need to talk to somebody. But no, I was teasing. I'm teasing. I'm teasing. We have a wonderful pastor. So I was listening to Brother Reggie, and he just stirred something in me. You have to go back about once or twice and listen to his message again, because it was interwoven in there, a prophetic word for the church. But one thing that Brother Reggie Travis said, he said, when the devil and you can help me put it, realize the depth, I have it written down. When you realize the root that and how deep it goes inside of you, those seeds, you know, the devil's in trouble. When you realize, am I saying it right, Reggie? When you realize how deep those roots go inside of you, those seeds that's been planted in you, then the devil better watch out. And I have it written down, and I'm going to quote it just right, Reggie. He's sitting out here. My Lord, help me, Jesus. He said, roots that are in you start to rise up. When the roots that are in you start to rise up, the devil's in trouble. That's a direct quote from Reggie Travis. When the roots that are in you start to rise up, the devil's in trouble. And I believe today that you'll find out, and you'll get the revelation that the devil's in trouble. Because there's roots inside of you that go very deep. But some of the roots or seeds need to be watered, right? Yes. Need to be watered, cultivated. So today they're going to be cultivated. Praise God. What are those roots? It's seeds of the word of God. It's truth and revelation that God has given us. And the devil's in trouble. I don't know about you, but he's in trouble. The devil's in trouble. Because I remember Brother Jerry Savelle years ago, he said, we as the body of Christ are letting the devil get away with too much. And he said that, and you know what those kind of things do to me. When we've allowed him to get away with too much, when Jesus has already paid the price. My goodness, we have a great inheritance, amen? We have a great inheritance. So when I was listening to Brother Reggie, the Lord said this to me. He said, there's a season change, and that's the title of my sermon. There's a season change. Yeah, we know in the natural there's a season change. But I believe in the body of Christ there's a season change. The prophets are saying that Jesus is coming soon. We've heard it for thousands of years, but Jesus is coming soon. And there's a great harvest to be won. But there's also the church. He's coming back for a glorious church. And I don't know about you, but I am a glorious church member. A glorious church member. And I thought about this, and some of you will remember this. I shared on this years ago, and I hadn't thought about it for years. But when I was writing this, some notes here, I thought, this thought came to me. He said, remember what happens at Mobile Bay? And they call it a jubilee. They call it a jubilee at Mobile Bay once in a while, only takes place between July and September, they say, or August and September maybe. And what a jubilee is at Mobile Bay in Alabama is all of a sudden the atmosphere starts changing. And when the atmosphere starts changing, and I won't read all of it, but they call it a phenomenon. And the atmosphere starts changing at Mobile Bay. And what happens is the water starts changing. And all of a sudden, people start calling out, it's here, it's here, it's here. And years ago, they would ring the bells and they had home phones and they'd call people up, come on down to the bay. The fish, when a jubilee happens, what that phenomenon is, that the water starts stirring and the heat and the oxygen goes out from underneath the water at the, whatever, at the bottom. And the fish start just being pushed up on shore, and it's shrimp, it's crabs, it's eels, it's every kind of fish you can think of. They just start coming up on shore because they're losing oxygen in that water and they can't breathe, you know. So they start coming up with thousands of fish. They said even the crabs, well, they'll see crawling up on the post. So why are you telling me that, Tricia? Because there's an atmosphere change. There's a season change. And it's a jubilee. And then they said, it's here. It's here. It's here. You can feel it in the atmosphere. And I think there's a song on that. I can feel it in the atmosphere. Anyway, I won't do that. Hallelujah. But you can feel it in the atmosphere. There's a jubilee phenomenon that's taking place. Praise God. So that was a great harvest of fish. And it was a great harvest. So the fishermen would go out. And the people would drive. A lot of people would leave there. They'd stay there all night long and open up the backs of their trucks. And it still happens to this day. And they call it a phenomenon of jubilee at Mobile Bay in Alabama. I'd like to be there sometimes when that happens. But we look, you know, you look for signs and symptoms for people that they were looking for signs. And they were looking for symptoms, and the people would begin to ring the bells. I said that a few minutes ago. And they'd holler to the neighbors, it's here, it's here. And I think we need to be saying, it's here, it's here. The conditions are just right. When the praise goes up, the glory comes down. So what about a spiritual jubilee? I believe it's here, amen? We know what that is, and I won't go over into all that in the Old Testament, but I will tell you this, in the Jubilee, there's an atmosphere that begins to change, and they proclaim liberty. We know that after 50 years, everything's returned. First thing that happens, property reverts to its original owner. And I thought about what you shared, Angie, the property that Angie's mom or dad, right, had years and years ago. It just reverted back to her. I mean, she bought it. It just came back to her. So in a time of jubilee, the atmosphere is changing and property reverts back to the original owner. Second, slaves regain their liberty. Third, a year of rest for the land, living on what you planted. Now that's what I'm going to take off on right there. Living on what you planted. Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. I said, when you find out how deep the root is on the seeds that you planted, look out, devil, because harvest is at hand. Amen? Now, seeds that you planted, Psalms 126, starting at verse 1. Let's just go there. That was just my introduction a few minutes ago. Psalms 126, Psalms 126, and I'm going to read it, you know me, of the Amplified. When the Lord brought back the captives who returned to Zion, who returned, we were like those who dream. It seems so unreal. You know, Rob and I are walking in some things. It seems so unreal. When you have dreams and visions, and you begin to see the manifestation of them, the seeds that you planted for years and years, the prayers that you prayed. And I heard Brother Reggie say this, many of you have sown in tears. Many of you have sown in tears. You've sown for your families. You've sown for your children. You've sown for your financial harvest. You've sown for lands to come back. You've sown great seed for deliverance to come to your life or many people's lives. There's seed you've sown, and you've sown in tears. And when you see the manifestation of that happen, as a church, we've sown many prayers that have been prayed. That, Lord, we must see a great awakening before we leave the earth. Lord, we must see revival in the New River Valley before we leave the earth. God, we must see it, and we're not going to take anything less. You've got to get tenacious about it. So in verse 2, then were our mouths filled with laughter, and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nations, among all the peoples, the Lord has done great things for them, or we could say for us. The Lord has done great things for us. You have a dream, and you planted much seed for that dream to come to pass. The Lord has done great things for us. In verse 3, and we are glad. I love the songs they sing about joy. And we're glad. We're glad, Father. I know the manifestation is right there. I can touch it. Turn to freedom our captivity and restore our fortunes. Turn to freedom our captivity and restore our fortunes, O Lord, as the streams in the south are restored by the torrents. They who sow in tears, there it is, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy and singing. So many of you, as I said a few minutes ago, including myself, you've sown seed, your last seed. You've been up at this altar or wherever the altar is in your house, and you've sown many seeds of prayers that have gone up to the throne room of God, and you've sown them in tears, crying for the deliverance of your children, crying for the deliverance of your family, crying. But I'm here to tell you today, Jesus never forgets a seed sown. Now listen to me. Jesus never forgets a seed sown. Church, Christian Growth Center, and all those that will listen to this teaching, Jesus never forgets a seed sown. Hang on. Hang on. Jubilee is about to take place. Holler, ring the bells, blow the horns. The harvest is coming to shore. Turn to freedom our captivity and restore our fortunes, O Lord. They who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now listen to verse 6. He who goes forth bearing seed and weeping at needing his precious supply of grain for sowing, God gives seed to the sower, right? Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So you've gone about bearing seed, weeping at needing his precious supply of grain for sowing, or just needing to see. But he said, but look here in verse 1 again, when the Lord brought back the captives, when he delivered Israel out of Egypt, they didn't come out empty-handed, did they? And you won't leave here empty-handed. I said to Rob, I said, I'm not leaving here empty-handed. I'm just, think about that. Many of you sowed in tears. So Mark 10, and you've heard me teach this, those have been here a while. Mark 10 with a rich young ruler. Let's just go over there a minute and look at that. the rich young ruler, in verse 21 of Mark 10. Remember, he had great wealth, and Jesus, he saw Jesus, and Jesus said, come and follow me. And he says, oh, and he said, you know, give what you have, sell what you have, and come and follow me. He said, oh, no, Jesus. He said, I can't do that. I have great wealth. I can't do that. And this is what Jesus said in verse 21. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and he said to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and accompany me, walking the same road I walk. At that saying, the man's countenance fell and was gloomy. He went away grieved and sorrowing, for he was holding great possessions. And I'm going to stop right there. Church, you've given up much and you've sown much, personally and corporately. You've given much, you've sown much, not just monies and material things. You've sown much prayer and sacrifice. You've given up lands and houses and brothers and sisters for the gospel's sake. And you weren't like the rich young ruler. You said, I'm going to go and I'm going to follow Jesus. You may have done it in tears, but you sowed in tears and you're going to get ready to reap in joy. There was great joy at Mobile Bay, especially for those that made a living selling the seafood. So he said, you're holding much possession. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, with what difficulty will those who possess wealth and keep on holding it enter the kingdom of God? No, we're not holding it. That's why there's much seed in the ground. He answered him and said, come on, let it go, and you'll have great. Great will be your reward. So we just praise God that we have, you know, those that are praying in the school guard. What is it called? Operation School Guard. You're sowing great seed for the children. But there'll be a great harvest. Amen. So one day you'll see that harvest. Jubilee. And, you know, we know that Jesus is our Jubilee. Did you know that? Jesus is our Jubilee. He fulfilled it. Exodus, let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Let's just look at that a minute. I may be wandering a little bit, but I'll get there. I like what Mark Brzee said. You just fly around the airport until you find out what runway you want to land on. Hallelujah. What runway? Praise the Lord. This is the heart of God. In Exodus 3 and verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters and oppressors. I know their sorrows and sufferings and trials. Now this is the heart of God for you. I've come down to deliver them. I've come down to deliver my church out of the hand and the power of the enemy, and to bring them up out of the land to a land good and large, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of plenty, to the place of deliverance. Let's just say that, a place of fullness, a place of harvest. And behold, the cry of the Israelites has come to me, and I've also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. And then you can see in Exodus chapter 12, the fulfillment of that. In 12:35, gosh, it's been so long since I've read this. And this is what it says Exodus 12:35. This is the fulfillment of what God did. You say, well, why are you reading this? Because I want you to know, church, that God hears the cry, the sowing with tears. God has heard your cry. Amen. Exodus 12:35. The Israelites did according to the word of Moses. They urgently asked the Egyptians jewels of silver and of gold and clothing. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they gave them what they asked, and they stripped. He said to Egyptian, we're going to say they stripped the enemy of those things. They stripped the enemy of those things. Now, that's a type and shadow of the church. It's a type and shadow. We've saw the whole message here is a season change that God wants you to know. He's heard your cry. He's seen the seeds you've sown. He's seen the tears you've cried. He's heard the cry of his people. And he says, I have come to deliver them. He came and he sent Jesus Christ. And he is the great Jubilee. And in Luke 4:18, he stood up and he began to say in the temple, it is finished. In other words, it is finished. I've come to set the captives free. I've come to set at liberty those who are bound and bruised and depressed. I have come to set you free. Now you go out and you walk in total liberty and total freedom because the work has been done. It is finished and it's not based on your goodness. It's based on the goodness of Jesus Christ and what he's done. It's not based on how good you are. It's based on the righteousness of God. It's based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's based on the seeds of faith that you've sown. It's based on that cry that he's heard coming up from the earth. That the church shall arise and his enemies shall be scattered. The church, come on church, wake up. Wake up. There's a phenomenon about to take place. There's a wind of changes are blowing. The atmosphere is changing now. I'm telling you, Sedera, Mashera, Mandora, Bashera, Mandara, Masara, Mandara, the atmosphere is changing now. Rise up and take hold of the promises of God and go free and continue to run your race. And don't look back and say, oh my God, what about the grace? Well, the grace is sufficient for thee. And if you'll put your hand and keep it to the plow, you'll see and reap the great harvest of the day. So I'm telling you to wake up and hear what the Spirit of the Lord says unto the church. Shake yourself. Wake yourself, church. Because there's a great awakening at hand. Say, I don't see it. I don't hear it. Open your spiritual eyes and open your spiritual ears. Because I'm telling you, the horns are blowing. The bells are ringing. There's a jubilee at hand. The harvest is there. And it's about to land in your house. For the God of the breakthrough will visit your house. The God of favor will rest upon you, church. When God said you go in, that you've been held in bondage to the Israelites long enough, you go and you take back what is rightfully yours. You go to all those Egyptians. You women, he said, you women, you get up. He's talking about men. You women, he said, you get up. And you go to all your neighbors and you tell them, you give me back what's mine. You give me the jewels. Do they not? Give me the jewels. Give me my jewelry. Somebody gave me this necklace and earrings since I've been here. Thank you, Lisa. So you give me the jewels. You give me all the things that you stole and you kept back. We may have been oppressed for about 40 years or however long it was. People have different. Thank you. 400 years. Thank you. 40 years. Where did I get that? We've been married 42 years, but I wasn't in bondage. Give me, I need some water. I'm just, hallelujah. Come on. What did they do? They went in and they took it all back. There's a song, we go into the enemy's camp. Going to the enemy's camp. Gonna take back from me. Well, Jesus took back what was stolen. God bless you, Peggy. I receive. Jesus took back what was stolen. See, that's the thing. Jesus really fulfilled it all. When he hung on an old rugged cross. And he said, it's finished. He said, he stood up in that temple. I could just see him. He said, let me just tell y'all something. Let me just tell y'all something. He said, I came. I'm here. He said, I'm here. And I've come. I'm anointed by God to set all you captives free. I'm here to heal the brokenhearted. I'm here to bring at liberty those that have been bruised and oppressed and kept down. That's what Jesus did. Get a picture. He stood up and said, I am here. I have arrived. And I'm telling you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's here. He lives in me. He lives in you. And corporately, he is here. The atmosphere has been charged with the praises of God, the anointing of God that will destroy every yoke and remove every burden off of us. Jesus, I can just see him and hear him now going, come on, I did it all for you. I did it all for you. Wake up. You've allowed the devil to get away with too much. I'll put myself in there. We have allowed the devil to get away with too much when Jesus did it all. He did it all for you and me. He did it all for you and me. And he didn't do it in vain. I'm not going to leave this earth. That's been a prayer of mine for years and years. I said, God, I'm not going to leave this earth. Roger said, I don't want to leave this earth. I choose not to leave this earth until I see the dream, as he talked about in Psalms 126. I said, I'll be like those that dream. It'll seem so unreal when we see the manifestation of the seeds with the prayers we prayed, the tears we prayed, the standing we've done on the promises of God. Once we see it fulfilled, we may have sown in tears, but we're going to reap in joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. It will come in the morning. You know, I've probably wept as many tears as you through my life, 71 years of my life. But I tell you what, I've rejoiced in more than tears I've sown. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes. Take it back. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. Amen. That has the harvest in their hands. Glory to God. Praise God. Turn over to Mark 4. And let's just look at that for a few minutes. You know, Mark 4, for those that may not know, you know, Mark 4:14 has always been the logo and the scripture that Christian Growth Center was founded on. The sower sows the word. And we sow, we grow, and we go. Amen? That's the vision here of the house. We sow, we grow, and we go. So that's still the scripture base that we built this, or we planted this church on. But I just want to go down to verse 26. Most of you know the other. We preached on it much, but it'd be pay you to read it all from starting at verse 14. But verse 26 of Mark 4, Jesus said unto them, you know, he always taught in parables. He said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground. And we're talking about that seed, right, aren't we? And then continues sleeping and rising night and day. While the seed sprouts, it sprouts, it grows, and then it increases. But that man doesn't know how. How does that happen? He said, the earth produces, acting by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn or grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe and permits, immediately he sends forth the reapers and puts in the sickle because the harvest stands ready. And he said, Jesus said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use to illustrate and explain it? He said, this is how. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all seeds upon the earth. Yet after it is sown, now listen, after it's sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all garden herbs and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air are able to make nests and dwell in its shade. With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear and to comprehend and understand. So I believe you're able to hear, comprehend, and understand today that there's great seeds. A man, you as a man, a person, you scatter that seed, and the earth produces and knows what to do with it. You put the seed in a man's heart, that heart knows what to do with it. That heart will cause that seed a purpose that seed of vision, that seed of dreaming, that seed of deliverance. It will grow. The heart knows what to do. And the heart produces. You said the ground produces. We could say the heart produces. We can put in there the life produces. We say earth. He says earth. But he says this is the parable. This is how the kingdom of God operates. Seed time and harvest. Sowing and reaping. It never quits, right? This is what this church is. This is foundational scriptures and teaching that Christian Growth Center is founded on. You know, seed time and harvest. It never ceases. So you sow the seed in the person's heart. You sow it in their life. You sow it and it knows what to do. Amen? Yeah. You don't have to make it happen. Quit being people's Holy Ghost. Amen. You can't make it happen. It knows what to do. It produces. The heart produces. And then the reapers stand ready. So the word says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. We know that in Proverbs 4:20, 21, 22. Now I want to get over to this, and I'll close with probably these last scriptures. Let me get to James chapter 5. Hadn't thought about this scripture in a long, long time. But in James chapter 5, let's go over and look at that. If I can find James, it's in my Bible somewhere. James, you're here. Where are you, James? Where are you, James? You should say, I'm right here, Mama. That was your time to say that. That was your time to say that. James 5 and let's start at verse 1. And I'll start, I don't know what I'll do, but we'll just go with the flow. Come now, you rich people, weep aloud and lament over the miseries, the woes that are surely coming upon you. Well, they're not coming on us. This is for those people that are greedy and worship the spirit of mammon. Your abundant wealth has rotted and is ruined. Your many garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are completely rusted through, and their rust will be testimony against you, and it will devour your flesh as if it were fire. You have heaped together treasure for the last days. I'm telling you, the treasure has been in the earth. It's in people, it's in the earth, it's in businesses, it's in investments, however you want to look at it. But look, here are the wages that you have withheld by fraud from the laborers who have reaped your fields. There it is again, crying out. Did I not tell you that the Israelites, we read it, they cried out. They cried out, God, come down and deliver us. We've been held in bondage. You could say, well, I've been held in poverty. I've been held in lack. I've been held in oppression. I've been held. It's been held back from me. Crying out for vengeance. And the cries of the harvesters, or I could just say the cries of the church, have come to the ears of the Lord of hosts. Here on earth, you have abandoned yourselves to soft, prodigal living and to the pleasures of self-indulgence. And that's for those people, not here, not you, but those people that are selfish, like the rich young ruler that we read about. He said, my goodness, I can't give all that up. I can't give that up. I can't follow you. If only he'd have known, if he'd have followed Jesus, what he could have gained. And that's how these rich people are. Verse 6, you have condemned and have murdered the righteous, innocent man while he offers no resistance to you. We offer resistance. Yes. So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. So be patient, church, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the sower waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land, or from the hearts, from the family, from the children. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until he receives the early and the late rains. So you also must be patient. Establish your hearts. Strengthen Let me just say this to Christian Growth Center. Christian Growth Center, church, establish your hearts, strengthen and confirm them. And the final certainty for the coming of the Lord is very near. So we just say that God has heard the cry of his people. And so I think Brother Reggie shared that about the rain. And then, you know, you could see it, James chapter 5. 17 there, if you went on down, that Elijah was a man like all of us, and he prayed earnestly and it rained. And so what would cause the earth to produce? You know, I remember we used to get in here and we'd pray and we'd say, God send the rain. God send the rain. We need the outpouring of the Spirit of God to fall upon our seed. Lord, send the rain. Lord, send the rain. Send the latter and the former rain, so the earth will produce, so the harvest will produce. And there's many ways. I'm not going to get into that teaching about you praise and worship and, you know, praising unto God will water the seed. You know, a thankful heart will water your seed. There's many principles that will cause your seed to grow and produce, I believe, you know. But I'm not going to get into all that teaching, but don't give up. My whole message has been there's a season change, and the change is a great jubilee of harvest for you and the seed that you've sown. That's my message. The seeds that you've sown, the seeds that you planted, the seeds, church, that you planted, that's what the Lord put in my heart. Seeds that you planted. Don't forget the seeds that you planted. Seeds into this church. Seeds into this community. Seeds into your family. Seeds when you wrote those checks and it was your last monies. Seeds that you planted for healing and deliverance. I'm telling you. And there's others. And maybe we can pull up Amos 9:13. That's a good one. We've shared that before. I love this scripture. I'm back on this scripture. I tell you what. In the message. I think I wrote it down for Teresa. Praise God for the keys that are up in the sound booth. Amos 9:13. Look, let's just read it. Yes, indeed. It won't be long now, God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of another. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Either the word of God is true or it's not. Either God is a man that he should not lie. Is that right? God says in Hebrew, the word says in Hebrews that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. There is a spiritual law or principle that we saw in Genesis 8 that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will never cease. Sowing and reaping, it will never cease. It won't cease. That's the way the kingdom of God operates. As a man sows, that shall he also reap. But we just thank God because of the prayers that prayed in faith, seeds given in faith, that those seeds are working. So change what you're seeing. You may have to change what you're seeing. You may have to change what you're hearing. You may have to change those things so that you will be like those that dream. Amen. So we're going to be like those that dream when we see the manifestation of the things that we prayed for. The things that we've longed for. The things that we've hoped for. Yes. We're going to be like those that dream. Yes. So don't quit dreaming. There was a time in my life I quit dreaming. I didn't realize I'd quit dreaming, but I quit dreaming. It's taken me a long, long time to start dreaming again. It took me a long time. But that's okay. No matter how long it takes. you just start dreaming again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So grab hold of those dreams and the visions and the desires that God's put before you. Some of you are saying, God, I don't know, will it ever happen? Will it ever happen? You need to start saying, God, I thank you that it's happening.
Yes.
Stop saying, will it ever happen? You know, I found myself saying, I just don't know what to do. And the Holy Ghost said, stop saying that you don't know what to do. Start saying, I know what to do. I know what to do. I know how to do it. I know when to do it. And I know who to do it with. You have, you know the power of confession, right? I mean, am I talking to the church here, Christian Gritzener? Do you know the power of confession? I know what to do. I know that if God said it, it's so. I know that the revelation that's been given unto me, nobody can take it away. I know that there's great grace upon me, whether I see it, feel it, touch it or not. But I do know that God said there's a great jubilee. I use that because that story, I taught that really in depth about that phenomenon in Mobile Bay. I love to say that, in Mobile Bay, in Alabama, where my husband's from. He was born. There was a good seed that came out of Alabama. And there was a good seed that came, another good seed that came out of Alabama, and that was Danny Johnston. Good seed that came out of Alabama. So good seed comes out of Alabama. So there's a church, start saying, it's coming. I can hear it. I can hear it. I can hear it. Say, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. A great awakening. A great awakening. My harvest is producing. Tell people, my seed is producing. My seed is growing. I don't know how. I go to bed at night and I planted that seed. But I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost is hovering over that seed. He's hovering over that seed in people's hearts. And that seed is producing a great harvest for me. I may not know how. There's another song. I keep having all these songs. I may not know how it again. Oh, Lord. He'll do it again. If he did it once, he'll do it again. Lord of mercy. He'll do it again. If he did it once, he'll do it again. Because he's faithful. And he's not going to do what he did for the children of Israel. Jesus did for us. It's finished. Quit trying to work at it. Man, I almost killed myself trying to work at it. I must kill myself trying to make it happen.
Yes.
And some of you have too.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
Stop trying to make it happen and work at it. Rest. Jesus is working.
Right.
Jesus
yes.
is moving.
Yes.
And he's working in your life. He's working in your family. He's working in your heart. Just quit striving.
Amen.
You can't become rich by striving
right.
and toiling. You can't become rich in your mind, your body, your family. You know, that prosperity message is being coming against right now. But if you read the whole article, those are on Facebook, just read the whole article.
Yes. Amen.
They're misquoting some people. Of course, that's what. That person said that they're throwing his name out there. He said, I'm against the extravagance of it. People that say, if you give me $1,000, you'll be blessed. That's what they're against. I'm against that.
Yeah,
you can't buy blessings.
No,
read the whole thing. Don't believe everything, you know. Hallelujah. Well, I better stop. I might get in trouble. Let's stand. I might get in trouble if I don't stop. Praise God. Hallelujah. You believe it? You receive it?
Yes.
The rain, hallelujah.
Good.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I can look out here and see people that have sown and labored. But I tell you what, harvest is here. There's a season change. Jesus is near. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. So what are you doing? I'm just waiting on God to see if he's through. Not if I'm through, if he's through. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You're so good to us, Father. Father, just reveal. Let me just pray for you. Father, reveal in the people standing here under the sound of my voice those seeds that they've planted that they've even forgotten about. Those prayers they prayed they may have forgotten about. Those financial seeds, those seeds of just things, of faith that they may have forgotten about. Father God, I'm asking you to remind them. I'm asking you to uncover, expose, and reveal. And I thank you, Father, that you're working mightily on their behalf. That you're causing them in these last days to be favored and the difference to be made and shown to the world that the church is the favored people upon the earth. Reveal and show them, Father, that you have favored them and you're making a big difference like a spotlight. Put the spotlight on your church, Father. And show the good. And show the faith that is arising in the hearts of your people. Put a spotlight, Father, with much favor upon them. The great doors will open for these people. Doors that they've tried to open and walk through for many, many years. God, open it now. Open the doors, Father. Cause it to be easy for them that they can walk through. Cause them to look back and say, oh my God, it's like a dream. I never thought it would come to pass. But oh, I see now. And cause them to rise up and tell it to their children. Begin to tell their children how good God is. That we serve a good and faithful God. A God that will always be faithful to his promises, to his word. Do that, Father. I'm asking you. I'm asking you as a favor, Lord. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Called and appointed and anointed by you. I'm asking you, Father God, to do that for these people. One by one. And corporately, Father. May it be so. The prayers that are prayed, the tears that have been sown, may great joy come once again to their heart and their house. In the precious, holy name of Jesus, Father, I ask this. And I call it so in Jesus' name. I call it so. I call it so. I call it so. Praise God, I call it so.